بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى. A word of kindness and covering faults. قول معروف ومغفرة covering faults, overlooking forgiveness. Far, far, far superior in sadaqati yatba'uha adha than doing charitable works and hurting people thereafter. So, one is words of kindness, and number two, maghfiratun, covering faults, overlooking. So, this is one act. One is to do some charitable work and then hurt the person thereafter. So this is far, far greater than that. A Muslim, his outlook to life is different, totally different to a non-Muslim. A non-Muslim doesn't believe in the hereafter. He doesn't believe that there is a hand that will replace him, that will reward him. He doesn't believe. So when he is doing some act of kindness, then he is thinking to himself, what will I get out of this? So if it is that by that act of kindness, his business is going to grow, become more popular and famous, then he's going to do it. Because I'm going to do this and I'll become popular, I'll become famous, my business will grow. So that is the agenda of a non-Muslim. Why? Because he doesn't believe in a thing like hereafter. He doesn't believe in a thing like sawab. He doesn't believe in a thing like a life after this life. And a Muslim knows that there is a thing like a hereafter, a reward. Right. You do something and Allah Ta'ala will do for you. So Muslim thinks different. So these hadiths that are coming to encourage forgiving, overlooking of faults and kindness, these hadiths must be repeated, talk about it. Those that are in the science of hadith, then they may hear sometimes that the first hadith that I heard from my ustad, and say that my whole life, and the first hadith that I heard from my ustad is irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fis sama. You be kind and the one in the heaven will be kind to you. So they call it a hadith musalsal. This musalsal means that it's an unbroken chain of reporters. So I heard the hadith from you, and you heard it from your ustad, and we heard it in the same manner. That means the first hadith that you heard from your teacher, this was it. Right? And the first hadith I heard was the same, see. So it's not that it was the only hadith, but the first hadith. The first hadith I heard was irhamu man fil ard, irhamkum man fis sama. So this reaches up, some say right till Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and others say that this ends up by Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi. After that, the chain is not like before. But now the emphasis they are putting on this, kindness, overlook, hide the faults, don't talk about it, don't go on a smear campaign. So that's an Islamic approach. And the non-Islamic approaches have propaganda, smear, disgrace, run the person down. Somehow they are trying just push him down. So that's the other way. In our ways, let's try and forgive, overlook, Let's not look for faults. One Arab with only one son. This one son is God. And he's taking care of his son, and he's also to some extent taking care of his nephew. So the nephew killed his son. His son is the only person. The nephew killed his cousin, that means his own son. Can you imagine now? The man has got just one child, and his nephew killed his child. So now, obviously, it's going to be a murder, there's going to be commotion, talk, So this news reached me. So he says, you see, my left hand has cut off my right hand. So it is not the wise thing now that I cut off my left hand as well. As though he counted both as his hands. One hand had amputated the other hand. So it's not going to be the wise thing that I amputate the next hand as well. But I can understand the emotions and the feelings of my wife. If I don't do anything about this, then she'll take it differently. Alright, go into my stables and pull out 100 camels and give it to her as a compensation for the blood. So you either say life for life. And if you're not going on that note of life for life, then a compensation. Right? So what is the compensation? 100 camels. So take out this 100 camels from my stable and give it to her. So now at least this will appease her, alright, your son has gone. So we didn't take it lightly, we took it very seriously, we're compensating for it in this manner. So you see our style is forgive, overlook. In the day of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi, in Nizamuddin Markaz, right, they caught one thief. All took out the emotion, they really winded him nicely. Nicely they gave it to him. Come here to the masjid, this is what you're doing. So Mullah heard the whole thing, he saw the whole story. He says, "Aap logon ne chor ko bakra," caught the thief. "Phir iski pitai bhi ki," and you hit the person, "aur dil ke bharas ko nikal diya," all the emotions of your heart, the king, you really expressed it. Isse ab to deen phailega. Now deen will spread like this. Else will deen spread like this? You caught the person, right? You gave it to him, and now you think in this manner, will the deen spread? There is a seal. This Markaz is like a launderer, right? Launderer. In a laundry, all type of clothing will be coming. Smart clothes, dirty clothes, filthy, extra filthy, mild, hard stains, light stains, all types will come. People whose clothes are good, pressed, and clean, they're not going to be sending the clothes here. But people's clothes that are dirty, filthy, smelly, stains, stubborn stains, right? These are the type of clothing that will come here. So then he says, "Bardash karo," just endure, right? So they came here because they feel that they got some dirt, they got some filth, and that filth needs to be cleansed. It's to be cleansed, clean it out. Now cleaning it out, sometimes it's a mild stain, so one shot you get it out. But sometimes the thing is, it's a hard stain, it's a very stubborn stain. In one stroke you can't, with some jig or so you can't get it. Again, maybe 3-4 good times, then eventually you get it right. But straight away you won't get it right. So the ummah, this is what requires some understanding, some consideration, how you hide the person's fault. You don't expose the person's fault. You know about it, but you just hide the fault, you don't expose it. One person came to the Shaykh Rahmatullahi and is extending an invite. Shaykh knows that this person's business is corrupt. Bribery, corruption, what he's doing. Some people are like that. Sometimes this extremism, right? So, a high ranking officer, he took bayat in the hands of a sheikh, right? So as he took bayat at the hands of the sheikh, sheikh told him, this is the zikr that you must do. After Fajr, till Ishraq, keep quiet. And see that you complete the zikr. So, he's sitting on his pot, Fajr namaz finished, and then he's winding his mamulat, whatever zikr was recommended. In the meanwhile, he's a high-ranking officer, his livelihood is through bribery, corruption, etc. Now, as he's sitting at the spot, someone is coming and says, I got this problem here. And he remembers that the Shaykh said, you don't talk from Fajr till Ishraq, you don't talk. So now, how must continue the business? He's got a problem now. And I know it's a big business. So he just do this. 500. This, 1,000. And if it's 2 times 2,000. So he'll receive the thing and push it under the musalla. He's taking the thing and he's pushing it under the mat. At the time of Ishraq, when it's coming up Ishraq, he's pulling out 20,000, 30,000. So, I say there's an extreme. Extreme means you take your Shaykh's words so severe that after that you break the command of Allah Ta'ala, you're not concerned about it. The greater thing in your life is now what the Shaykh is saying. So he's taken a greater position than Allah Ta'ala also. So if you violate and break his command, then you don't think much about it. But the Shaykh's command must not be broken down. See? So this is called extremism. As we have spoke about, لَا تُتْرُونِي كَمَا أَتْرَتْ النَّصَارَى إِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ. أَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. The Christians, where they went wrong, how they went wrong. They extolled the praises of Isa al-Islam and brought it to the level of divinity. So in them also there's a difference. Someone say he's a son of God, someone say he is God, right? And the third group says, no, he is one of the Trinity. So someone says that he is God, so someone says, no, he's the son of God, and a third group says that he is one of the Trinity. See? So in them also there is a difference. In the tafsir they got it that they wanted to spread Christianity in China. China, the language is totally different. Other languages, when come to terms familiar, like you see in Durban, right? In the last 40 years, a lot of people, they learned Urdu, right? They didn't know Urdu, but now they got it right. Because that is an easy language and easy to adopt. But China now, you know what they're saying, Xinjiang, you know what they're talking about. So they sent a couple of good missionaries to China to do their work. Actually, Christianity is just like a political, it's a political scheme. Why? A political scheme that you must think like us, don't become an obstacle on our path. So that's the idea. You practice it or you don't practice it, they don't worry. So once you are Christian now, so you listen to us. So when you listen to us, you don't become a hindrance on the path. But now you are of a different creed, I am a different creed, then I am apprehensive of you all the time. But you are on the same page as myself, so you know more a danger. So that's the idea. Even in India, where they spread Christianity, this was the idea. Say, you can be anything, but don't be a Muslim. Don't be a Muslim. So that was the main, Islam was the greatest obstacle. So now they want to rule over China, on how to do it, or make them Christians. So when the Christians, then when they're all like us, it's easy to manipulate them after that. So anyway, they had some missionary work going on for about 5-6 years. So these missionaries, they phoned up back to England, that, you know, with all the efforts now, we've got some people that became Christians, so we'll have a grand jalsa. Have a grand jalsa show for them that these are the people that have accepted Christianity after all our hard effort. Though there was a language barrier, whatever barriers there were, but we managed to make them Christians. So anyway, so they got a big jalsa, feeding and all that, good crowd. So the missionary that came in, he calls one of those converts now, that you give a small address, that you became a Christian, now give an address. So the Chinese saying, see, first there were three gods, right? So one god was killed, so from then till now, only two gods. First there was three gods, because that's what they believe, Trinity, right? So one was killed, so from then till now it's only two gods. That missionary went red on the face. Hey, get out of the stage, get out. Pulled him off. Alright. Now I said, this is the bright one, right? He's the right one, he's the bright one. He will save the show today. So they brought him on the stage. You must give a report, you know. So he first he started to see our missionary, our bishop who taught us, he says, see, three is one and one is three. Three is equal to one and one is equal to three. That's how they believe, right? They believe in the Trinity, but they say it's all one. The one is equal to three. So then he says, see, then when three is one and one is three, so they killed one, so there's nobody after that. From then till now, no God. You see, when you fake a religion, you must get caught. Someone was here, he had a clip, you know. So they approached one of the bigger, the most senior bishops in America. He's asking to listen to the clip. So I heard the thing. So now, are you the most senior bishop here? I think starting. Can I rely on this? You can't rely. So he's asking him now. So Jesus is God, he said, yeah. And then who was Jesus' father now? Jesus is God, but who was Jesus' father? Did he have a father? He said, yeah, he had a father. So Jesus is God. And then you see he had a father also, right? So then the third question he asked is then, so that means he was born. He said, yeah, he was born. And the fourth question he asked, then before he could be born, who was the God then? Who was the God then? So now he's lost for words. Can't find. So when you fake a religion, then you're going to get caught. At some point or the other, you're going to get caught. You're not standing to reason. That's why in India, the first person who brought this to light was Mawlana Rahmatullah Kirani. So they wanted to push the agenda. See? Christianity wanted to push it. Very severely, very strongly pushing it. They are asking for a debate. So Rahmatullah Kirani, he accepted the challenge. Now, at a time, that he doesn't know a word of English. But it is the word, it is the way of Allah Ta'ala, that when he needs to create a situation, make it happen. So there was one Dr. Wazir Khan from Bihar. Wazir Khan from Bihar. So he was a doctor, expert, and he knew the language very well. So don't worry, Mullah, I will translate all the verses. So he translated the whole thing. Whatever. So Mullah showed the bishop that was on the other side, see, I can point out mistakes approximately every second, third page. In your whole Bible, I will show you the mistakes. Inconsistencies, mistakes. So he had to accept that he was defeated. Anyway, was defeated, it was a day for the Muslims. In the meanwhile, there was a warrant of arrest against Mawlana Rahmatullah Kiran. He came all the way. Christianity was like a political lever just to gain mileage. That's sort of thing else. But now, because they couldn't get it because it's Mawlana, so there was a warrant of arrest against him. So, he fled to Makkah Mukarramah. So, whoever it was, Elizabeth or Victoria or whatever, they asked the Khalifa at that time that he is a criminal and he must be turned back to India. Sultan Abdul Hamid, that was the Turkish Empire at the time. So Sultan Abdul Hamid said, see, he has entered the haram of Allah Ta'ala. It's a sanctuary of Allah Ta'ala. Once he is there, then we can't take him out. Because that's the sanctuary of Allah Ta'ala. And we don't have the right to pull out anybody from the sanctuary of Allah Ta'ala. In the meanwhile, the same missionary, that same bishop, he finished with India and he got finished. So he went and he found some grounds in Turkey. And he's challenging anybody to come and challenge me or debate. And nobody knows about Christianity, so how are you going to challenge him? So Sultan Abdul Hamid, he's very worried that this is a challenge against Islam and we have nobody to stand for us. So he sent a message to Hijaz and all that, that this is a situation here. And we want someone to stand for us. So they made a little bit of an investigation. They found that Mawlana Rahmatullah is the ideal person. So he was shipped to Turkey. This man is boastfully he's saying, anybody, Hal min Mubariz, anybody to challenge me. But the moment he heard that Mawlana Rahmatullah is coming, he gone, disappear from the CIA. So the Sultan Abdul Hamid was a Turkish ruler at that time, and he asked him to stay over. He said, I can't do that. I can't leave Makkah Mukarramah and come to Turkey. What fazilah, what's the virtue of Turkey? They got no virtue. Besides the museum that they've got there, nothing else involved. Virtue is in Makkah Mukarramah. I can't leave Makkah Mukarramah to come and stay. So I said, at least the local ulama teach them about this comparative religion. So if we have an onslaught like this, then we can do something. In the meanwhile, the Hajis that were coming to do Hajj, right, they read Quran Sharif in an Indian style now. The tajweed is not right, the recitation is not right. And Mawlana had a lot of feeling for his people. Let's see, they can't recite the Quran Sharif right. They're reading it, recognizing the alphabets, but they haven't got the tajweed right. Pronunciation, they don't have it right. So, he asked the Sultan, give me a plot of land, and I want to construct a madrasa and teach my people the Quran Sharif. So, the land was given. Mawlana built a madrasa. That madrasa was known as Solatiya. Up to now it exists. Solatiya just in the, just a little bit out of, further away from the Haram Sharif. So, Maulana wanted a very good qari to come and teach them. So there was some type of a jalsa, and there were some urras that recited. So there was one qari sahab whose recitation was too good. And Maulana Rahmatullah liked his recitation. And overall, all the judges that were there, they felt also that his recitation is second to none. I can't remember his name now. Yajab. Ibrahim bin Sam. His recitation was about the best. So they asked him to become a teacher there and teach. Then the first student was, I think, Abdullah. Huh? Qari Abdullah. That was the first student. So he recited so well that someone commented that perhaps there can't be an Indian reciting the Quran Sharif as well as Qari Abdullah. So the Sheikh said, no, forget an Indian reciter. In the world there can't be, there isn't a person that can read as well as him. The whole world, you can't find a person that can read as well as him, as Qari Abdullah. And Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, when he had to stay at his Sheikh's residence for 6 months for Islam and all that, right? He lived there. Then he requested his Sheikh that allow me to do my qiraat. And he learned under this Qari Abdullah. Until he had perfected it so well that when the Sheikh that Qari Sahib is reading and Mawai is reading, so you can't make out who's reading now. Is Maulana reading now? Or is that Qari Sahib reading? But he perfected it so well he perfected. But then, his Qari Sahib had advised him that, see, you go back to India, the waters are different, climatic conditions are different, and you won't have this atmosphere. But if you want to get that, if you want to retain the qiraat, then at least 1 hour or something for the day, you must recite. One sipar, one juz, or half a juz, but recite it in the manner that I have taught you. So, Maulana Mohammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi was in Randir of some in Surat, and our respected Ustad, Mufti Ibrahim Sanjali Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he says that his qiraat imtihan was taken by Mohammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. See the sanad now. How it's going. Right? And then Maulana's recitation in Tarawih was, his recitation in Tarawih was different. His recitation was a little bit, not at a normal speed, but a little bit controlled. More controlled, more calm. Maybe like Mulyus, I don't know, but much more controlled. Not speeding. But at least as far as I would do it. So, we are talking about hiding people's faults, forgiving, hiding people's faults. And that's our culture. That's our way, that's our culture. And now, because we're living amongst a lot of type of people, this person must be exposed, let the world know about it. But there's a way to just push it under the carpet, finish, forget it. That person may sort him out in some other way, right? But now, living in this circumstance, in these circumstances, right, that we are in, now we defame our brother and we smear him amongst the kuffar, right? So, can you understand what happens after this? We are living in a kuffar majority, right? Right, our brother was wrong. We admit that he was wrong. But then we go and disgrace him in the midst of kuffar. Then what happens to your own reputation, your own respect, what happens? Can you imagine? Now, on the side, we'll do whatever we need to do. Whatever correction we need to do, we'll correct that person. But now, to defame him, to go and spoil the name, spoil the reputation, break the person down, right? It's not our way. not the way of our elders. Our elders were quite different. This is why I say we're living amongst all types of people, mixed up, minds are all mixed up. And I was showing one in the morning. It's the type of people that you mix up with. After a period of time, you begin to think like that. See, after a period of time, then you begin, your thinking all changes. So I was explaining this. Let's see, about 35 years ago, right? Then it was unanimously accepted that photography is not right. There was no difference of opinion amongst us, right? Then the relationship with the Arab world strengthened. From some quarters of India, Pakistan, the relationship with the Arab world strengthened. When it strengthened, carried on strengthening, now the thinking became about the same. What they say is right, then it becomes right. So somehow you have to forge it to be right. But the way it starts off, you go and trace the thing, where it started off. It started off at this point, where we went and interacted with them for such a long period. So when you interact with a person, then you don't realize, invariably, you begin to think like him. After a period of time, you begin to think like him. And I'm showing Mawlana, see, the Queen of Saba, right? وَصَدَّهَا مَا كَانَتْ تَعْبُدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَصَدَّهَا مَا كَانَتْ تَعْبُدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ So, what was the thing that turned her? It was her people, right? The idols, whatever they had, that was the thing that turned her. And Allah Pak is saying thereafter, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مِن قَوْمٍ كَافِرِينَ Because she lived amongst kuffar, so therefore she was influenced towards disbelief. So it's the type of person that you would love, interact with, that your thought process also begins to change. So you're living with a certain class of people, then this is the thought process. Sahan Puri Sahib used to say that for a long period I preferred sweet stuff. And other Sheikh Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, because he's a very close student, he would like hot or salty stuff. We call it namkeen, right? But the Sheikh likes sweet stuff and he prefers salty or hot stuff. So now, because of him now, I also got a taste for salty and hot stuff. I lost the taste for sweet. But you see how your mind, the association and the people that you interact with, and you just change. Therefore the hadith also says that you will find haughtiness amongst people who are camels, cows, you know. So you'll find them to be more proud. So doing livestock, and in the livestock you've got camels, horses, cows, etc. So you see these animals, they got some haughtiness in them, some level of pride in them, right? So you got these type of things, then your temperament also begins to change. You don't realize it, gradually you become haughty, you become hard, you're not a person that is forgiving and overlooking, you become harsh a bit. People have got horses, camels, cows, etc. But people that have goats and sheep and all that, you'll find them to be more splendid and more humble. See that association now, just association with animals also, it influences the person's temperament. Let alone association with people. What is association with people and how it affects you, and what is association with animals, and that also affects you. So you see this association and how it can change your whole thinking process, whole thinking involved. You think, oh, I'm intelligent, I know where to draw the line, and I can read between the lines. That's what you will say. I can read between the lines, and I know. But as clever as you are, the people that you associate with, you must get affected. Sooner or later, you must get it. Sometimes it's just one line, and you read that one line, and one line can just turn your whole mind. Your whole mind can turn off. Just one line, one word. You read that one word, and then it captures you, and that can be a catalyst for your whole thought process change. So, how important it is. But now, the question is then, that what about people coming to a sheikh? You know, all types of people, talking about Ilyasab, and he's saying that the dhobi ki batti hai, right? Whether dhobi, washerman, all types of people are going to come. So now, then won't he be affected? See, one is I go towards you, and one is you coming to me, but there's an interaction. When there's an interaction, then won't we get affected? So one says, no, it doesn't work in that way. See, that is a system of Allah Ta'ala that jo talib ban karke aata hai, person come as a student, as a learner, right? So you're not affected by him. Yes, he is affected by you. Comes as a student, comes to learn, comes to correct himself. So you don't get affected, he will definitely get affected, provided you are sincere, right? But if you going into their ranks, you're going into their ranks, then you're going to get affected. So that's why you find Tabligh Jamaat, the process, how they work. Right? So this Jamaat work is to me, the whole thing is ilhami. It's like from Allah that inspired. Right? So they will tell you must go with a lot of zikr. Zikr and dua. So that's the spirit of the work. If you're going in, you're going not as a single person, you're going 5-6 people. And they're all making zikr, they're making dua, right? So, this whole group that is going, that whole jamaat that is going, is sort of immunized by zikr and by dua. When it's immunized by zikr and dua, they're not going to get affected. But the person that they're going to, he is going to get affected. But provided they keep to that, the original style. Now you're going to go in gush, looking at your phone, you're looking at something else, right? Then you're not going to have that type of immunity. The immunity comes when you engage in zikr and dua. Your fikr is there, the zikr is there. So now that person that you're going to, he's going to get affected. Right? And if you're going to decrease and you're going to break away from that thought of the original, definitely, then you will be doing something else. You're not doing the Jamaat work. Something else you're doing. So nonetheless, we're talking of hiding faults, not revealing, not exposing people, their mistakes. This was part of our culture. Islamic culture, Muslim culture, this was it. So, this person comes to the Sheikh, and I show he's involved in corruption and whatever else. Extends an invite. So, in some discreet manner, as a sheikh excused himself without hurting and belittling. See, because there's so many things that comes into the play. You can't hurt the person, you can't belittle the person, you can't despise the person. By the same token, you can't eat haram as well. So now, how are you going to reconcile? So, in some discreet manner, he excused himself. The meaning that this person is sharp. He went up to Hazrat Mawlana Sahib, Puri Sahib, Rahmatullahi. Hazrat, mere yahan dawat hai. I got a dawat on, and please you must come. And you must bring Sheikh along. Well, he knows that he is the Sheikh. So the Sheikh instructs that he has to comply. So, Sheikh went, but he ate, and after he came out, straight away he put his thrust his finger and he spewed everything out. So he got affected by the haram in any way. But his sheikh ate, and for a good number of days he was affected. He felt feverish, etc., perspired, vomited, and then he cleared up. So that wrong had gone into the system. But in that entire duration, sheikh did not mention it to his sheikh. That now we are asked, Man satara an mu'minin. who conceals the fault of a Muslim, then Allah Ta'ala will conceal your fault. So even his own shirk, he didn't explain to the shirk that this person is doing this. Because it doesn't relate to his own Islam. See, what if it relates to my personal Islam, then I will relate it. But if it doesn't relate to my personal Islam, then why must I expose the fault of the next person? See, it's my own, I need to know that am I right or not right, right? For example, he was abusive, so I was abusive. So now, you're relating your conditions so that you may get a correction. But now, it doesn't relate to your personal Islam. It's wrong of that person. So you don't have to go and express it. Then you'll conceal it. But I say this was the part, it was a makeup of our culture. Forget, overlook, don't talk about it, don't make a noise about it. Somehow go and correct the person also. But don't go on a smear campaign, bite the person, smash the person. See, in India all these things happen. Like, Urus, all these things still happen, right? But our ulama-i-kiram, they corrected these things here. But with a lot of wisdom and in a very beautiful manner. Without fighting, without encountering problems, without getting into controversies and fights and all that. They avoid all that. But they didn't let it just remain like that. Corrected how they corrected, think about a way. If it is like customs that are wrong, alien to Islam, then Mawlana Ahmadullah had come to our shores, Sheikh al-Hadith of Ramdera, right? I saw him a couple of good times, alhamdulillah. I saw him here, I saw him in India as well. So he was Urdu speaking, but he was based in Ramdera. So that whole Ramdera area was loaded with bidat. It was his work, Mawlana Ashraf Sahib, Ramdera, Mawlana Ahmadullah Sahib, right? And Mawlana Saeed Sahib, 3-4 Buzruganadi, right? Mawlana Abdul Rahim Lajpuri, right? About 4 or 5 of them. But they worked amongst them and they turned the whole thing around. They turned the whole thing around. So you will see now, see, he talked to his community, see. If you are not thinking, man, that's why you're not becoming prosperous. There's a wedding, then you all will splash 1 million, 2 million. And see, these people, this other community, Gujarati speaking, they are sharp, they don't spend that type of money in this type of things, right? So, they become wealthy after that. And you all is one wedding, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, you're just spending that. So, how will you see wealth? You want to see it? So, the idea is to take them out from the wrong customs, but the approach, see what the approach? Without a fight, without any encounter, without any controversy, without any commotion. But he steered them out of that. Now that became like a place. Now Ramdera becomes a place. After about 90 years, it becomes a place like you can see Sunnah there. On the streets, in the masjids, all around you see. An atmosphere of Sunnah. But now, how to do it? So that requires a lot of thought process. We can't be comfortable with bidat, but we can't get into a fight, controversy, fight, use words, all you can't do all that also. Because then you will have two camps, two distinct camps, right? We can't get involved into them, because then as though we're condoning the wrong, right? And we can't afford to have a fight as well. As I said, now we are in a minority, all around us are kuffar, right? So we can't have a fight, because they don't know what's going on. The awam don't know what's going on. So we can't be joining them in the wrong, the one, but we can't afford to have a fight also in them. Right? So if you think now how to get it right, now think about it, make dua, understand, and remove the wrong customs. Remove these wrong customs, bidat, etc. And purify, correct yourself, bring yourself into Sunnah. So that requires some endurance, some patience, some sabr. Eventually it comes right. Now, the problem is where we go and join up with them, and we're thinking now, we join up with them, and then joining up with them will make them right. It doesn't happen that way. You join up with them and you think now they'll come right. It doesn't come, it doesn't work right. Like you see, you know, this fashion on the right. I'm just showing by way of analogy, I'm showing you. We're living in a minority, right? So we adopt their fashions, their clothing, their language, their mannerisms, their lifestyle, how their woman behave and our woman begin to behave like that. It's just a costume that's outside, but otherwise everything is just like them, right? So our thinking is the same, behavior is the same, partying is the same, the thought processes are the same, right? Right. But did you see this kuffar imitating us? Did you see them imitating us? You don't see them imitating us, but you see our people getting consumed by them. See, we'll get consumed by them, but you will not find them ever imitating us. So that means we are suffering a complex. They maintain their originality, and we dilute it. Can you see that? Their originality, they maintain it. And did we maintain our original, our thinking, our understanding, our ways, our mannerisms? Did we maintain it? So, in this type of circumstance, this must be a primary concern of every Muslim, that these are the halat that I'm living. How must I preserve my originality? Now, they'll open up shops, right? And however they open up shops, malls, all that, right? And we get impressed. And we become part of that furniture of that mall, don't we? So we want a little bit of entertainment, the wife, children, everybody, we're taking them to that mall. So are we overwhelmed, are we overcome with that culture or not? I ask you for a moment, ask yourself, are you overwhelmed or not? You're going into that, so you see the lights there. You see the woman there, right? You see the presentation there, right? So, don't your children and your wife want to go there? So, are their hearts inclined towards it or not? If it was disinclined, then they won't ask to be taken there. But the fact that they're going there shows that there's an inclination. Right? So you think that you're going to change things for him. You won't change things, they will change you. In fact, they'll sell you for change, they'll sell you. So the Quran is telling, what is telling you under this type of things? La tarkanu ila alladhina zalamu. Rukun means slight inclination. No. Like you see this column is straight. And rukun means it's not absolute, it's turned a little bit. So the Quran is saying that don't even turn a little bit toward them. In your ways, in your thinking, in your dressing, in your customs, in your interaction, in your socializing, in everything. Don't you ever turn a little bit to them. If you are going to be turning towards them, what will happen? فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. You will become a victim of Jahannam. See that? Don't even turn slightly towards them. So in anything, whether it's your thinking, whether it's your eating, whether it's whatever else, you'll adopt one thing, and the second thing, and the third thing. Say, no, hey, how can you eat rice with your hand? So filthy. I'm hearing this from so-called learned people, right? No, I must eat with the spoon, eat with the fork. So, I ask you, is it because of association of these people here that we also begin to adopt their ways or not? Is it not? Is it a fact or not? Our ways, what we adopted from 1400 years, that became dirty in Auzubillah. And this that is foreign to us, that became the clean way. So Allah Pak is warning us, don't. So their ways, their styles, their clothing. Are you getting, sometimes you're getting good hafizes, whatever else, right? So on the top they're wearing a kurta, but inside what they're wearing? Somebody's wearing some funky clothing, somebody's wearing some jeans, somebody's wearing some torn jeans, whatever. So, that clothing becomes the actual clothing. This is just a cover. So you're wearing this white, you're wearing it because there is a little inclination towards it. An inclination can't come without muhabbat. You love something, so you incline towards it. And if there's no, there's a dislike, will you be inclined? You can only like it, you can only incline if there is a, you like it, right? If you like something, you incline. But you say, if you disincline, if you dislike it, will you be inclined? So that means you like their ways. See their clothing, their fashion, all this type of t-shirts what they're wearing now, colored and all that, right? Different types. Right? So you will adopt that when there's a liking. That means there's an inclination after liking. First the step is like, then incline. And it's such a dangerous thing. I say everything, you can't do it overnight, but gradually you have to think in everything, our ways, our mannerisms, our speech, our socialization, everything. Then we need to just mop it up, clean it up. Mop it up. It's all filth. So clean it up, get it back to the original. And I say you won't get it overnight, but try. Now, we will adopt their ways, and then we, our children and wives, we like all that type of things. And what's going to happen after one generation? If you introduce them towards that, then they went further, so aren't you responsible for that as well? You're dead or you're alive, but you introduced them towards this type of life. Now they went a couple of good steps ahead. I ask you, will you be responsible or not? So that's why one is لَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Keep that in mind. You don't slightly also incline towards them, otherwise you'll become a victim of Jahannam. And the second thing you keep in mind always, الْمَرْءُ مَعَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُ. You will be grouped with the people that you love. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is there, Sahaba Kiram, all the awliya is one side, right? And you are asked, you group separately, because you didn't like this type of dress, ways, mannerisms, values. You didn't like it. You like those ways. And you like those ways, so you group up separately. I say, what an embarrassing moment will it be? Won't it be a disgraceful moment? Won't it be disgraceful? Maybe later on, Allah will maaf after that. But if you group separately, for a good time, amount of time, we don't know, 100 years, 200 years with them, until you get yourself cleansed up. So isn't it something to be afraid about? Isn't it a thing to think about? Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, you group with the people that you like. So their ways, their mannerism, everything of this is cleaned out. And I say you won't get it out overnight, but your mind must be there, that I don't want anything of this in my house, in my life, in my children, amongst the people that I want influence, I don't want them to get spoiled. So how must I wean it out? How must I get it out? That they become paragons of the Sunnah, of Rasulullah, they like that. So on the day of Qiyamah, when you are getting the grouping, see the Quran says what? وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ Quran says what? وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ When people will be grouped, they grouped according to their ways, their habits. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ You are all grouped. Grouped according to your ways, your inclinations, your preferences. Right? You like, for example, Christian ways, you're grouped. You like Muslim ways, you're grouped. You like druggers, etc., you're grouped accordingly. You like LG, so you grouped accordingly. So according to your preferences, you are grouped. But now, on that day, now, from Adam alayhi salam to the last person, and they're watching, oh, my father, he was a drugger. Oh, my grandfather was like this. I ask you, won't that be a disgraceful moment? So, from now, we try to pull ourselves up. Alright, what is the sunnah? And how would we come there so that on that day we're not disgraced? See, Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, he ends up, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah, don't disgrace me on that day. See, here, whatever happens, unch, neech, high, low, everything will finish up, right? But Allah Ta'ala, please, don't disgrace me on that day. That day nothing will happen. لَا يَنْفَوْ مَالُ وَلَا بُنُونَ, your influence, all that, nothing will happen. Nothing can work. What really works there is إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The heart is right. In other words, the shape of the heart is right. The influences is right. Your values are right. The values of your heart is right. See, that is right. So that's the person that's going to score on that day. Let us win on that day.